This is the Australia Report with Vic Aladev. Good day, mate.
Vic Aladev, good morning. We're going to count on you to be the responsible one because there's very, very poor behavior here in studio. And it might be all me.
Good morning, Howard, and good to talk to you, whatever the circumstances.
Yeah, well, you know what? I'm not going to go back and tell you what we were talking about because I can tell you right now, unequivocally, that no good will come from it. It is a 6:50. Vic Aladev chatting to us from Australia. He is our Australian correspondent. So, Vic, just before we get going with some of the stories that we want to cover, give us a sense of how it's looking in terms of COVID.
In terms of COVID, thank God it's looking significantly better. This state, New South Wales, we've reached 90% of double dose. Victoria and Melbourne is indeed, and it's actually quite remarkable, and which means that pretty much everything is opening up. And there's only one state, which is Western Australia, which is doing their own thing, in other words, and their border is still closed. So, in other words, people from other states, if they go to Western Australia, they go to lockdown, etc. So people are screaming and shouting because people have family, obviously, in different parts of the country.
Of course. It's like East and West Berlin.
Exactly. And to the point, in fact, there's a family, close friends of ours, former South African from Port Elizabeth, whose daughter is due to get married in Melbourne. And that wedding just, Dufka, yesterday was postponed from a couple of weeks' time until March next year.
Oh, no.
Because the parents live in Perth, the daughter who's getting married lives in Melbourne, and they can't get together. So, and it's crazy when the
that
whole
is
country
crazy.
Is now over 80% dose. So each state can do its own thing, and so Western Australia's, the premier saying, no, we still can't open up yet. So, but most of the country now is opened up. And the good news is that the double doses is here 90%, in Melbourne over 80%. So it's good numbers.
And travel in and out of Australia?
Yes. So now that has begun and people are booking flights left, right and center. And yes, so one can travel out of Australia now. Yes.
Okay,
and
great.
Coming back, I think it depends on where you have come from. In other words, if you've come from a country like Russia, for example, where the vaccine rate is frighteningly low, I imagine you'll have to get tested, quarantine and all that stuff. But I think it depends which country you've come back from or via.
Right. Let's talk about Sydney's first centre for people with disabilities.
So this is actually a great inspiration. There's a Jewish crisis center, as it called itself, called Jewish House here, and which looks after people in, you know, who have social crisis situations. And so they have just opened Sydney's first ever, a center for people with disabilities and people who do not have disabilities. But obviously the focus is to assist those who do have disabilities. And so it's basically, it's just opened up and it has all, and it's got 11 different workshops and singing and dancing and cultural events and vegetable gardening and street art and yoga and meditation and art and all events which people without disabilities take for granted, but which haven't necessarily been available for people with disabilities. So it's a great initiative and it's just being launched. And funding has been sourced specifically for this. And so it's a great event basically, which is now taking place. And the credit is a Rabbi Mendel Castell, who CEO of this crisis center called the Jewish House. And, he's a very sort of go ahead kind of guy, always looking for, you know, new opportunities. Or new, you know, possibilities. And so this is now basically underway.
Amazing. Really, really incredible.
And what I forgot to mention, that it's called One and All. So in other words, lovely. You know, everyone's now welcome.
Fantastic. Eddie Jaku's a final interview. And of course, we've spoken quite a lot about him, the happiest man, in the world or on earth. He passed away recently. Tell us about his final interview.
So tonight will be the Kristallnacht ceremony for the Jewish community here in Sydney. And Beseret, I guess, is the word for it. Exactly 2 weeks before Eddie passed away at the age of 101. He was interviewed for tonight's Kristallnacht event. And Eddie, and apart from the fact that he survived and was 101, Eddie himself was caught up in Kristallnacht. And he was a teenager, and Nazi stormtroopers burst through the door of the house where he lived with his parents at the time. He was, you know, viciously assaulted, etc., and obviously survived that. But then subsequently, you know, incarcerated in Auschwitz and Buchenwald. So Eddie himself was a Kristallnacht survivor. And for that reason, he was interviewed. And as I say, it turned out to be exactly 2 weeks prior to he passed away. And so that will be, so tonight is that commemoration, obviously by Zoom. And the interview with Eddie, which was obviously the last one that he did before he passed away. And just a moving sort of adjunct to that, there's something called the Sydney Children's Choir, and a piece has been composed inspired by words from Eddie's book, The Happiest Man on Earth.
Wow.
And so the choir will be singing that together with the Sydney Jewish Museum. So obviously Kristallnacht is moving and important in any event, but will be so much more so because it's honoring Eddie and four generations of his family, actually, all of whom will be involved in the commemoration tonight, lighting candles and saying prayers.
And Vic, if I can ask you, once it's available, just to share the link of this interview with me, then I can play some excerpts for our listeners, because I've got no doubt that this is going to be something that is worth hearing, if not the whole thing, then certainly parts of it.
I certainly will do that, and the whole commemoration will be inside of an hour, so it'll be pretty tight.
Right.
I certainly will do that.
That'll be greatly appreciated. The race that stops the nation, Jewish owner of the winning horses. Tell us about the story.
So just very briefly, so every year there's a race called the Melbourne Cup, which obviously takes place in Melbourne, and they call it the race that stops the nation. Melbourne has a holiday on the day of this race. That's what a big deal it is. And it's, you know, I don't know anything about horse racing, but apparently it's 2 and something kilometers, which apparently is a long way if you're a horse and you're running. But, and so it just took place a couple of days ago. And the first two horses, not just the horse that won, but the horse that won and that came second, both owned by a businessman in the Melbourne businessman in the Melbourne community. His name is Bray Sikolsky, and there's millions of dollars, literally millions of dollars are bet on this race.
Absolutely incredible.
And a member of the community owned not only the race that won, but the horse that came second as well.
Incredible.
So in terms of, if you care about horse racing, if you care about betting, it was a pretty big deal for Mr. Sikolsky.
Absolutely incredible. Vic Aladef, that is where we leave it. Wonderful to chat to you, catching up with what is going on in Australia.